Third hour, DDC, Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here at the Grove. Corn Ferry Tour, Simmons Bank Open for Snedeker Foundation. Beautiful day.
Hey, let's go at half on a house out here.
Whew, man, I'd love to have one of these houses.
Yeah. Let's just go knock on somebody's door and see if they're willing to sell.
I doubt it. Well, yeah, I think they're willing to sell for the right price.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
I'll have to be asking for a raise, a big raise.
Hey, enormous raise. Because if you go to somebody's door, you knock on it, they're going to double the price from what?
I'm sorry, Darren. We cannot approve a raise for you at this time.
Mm. Dang it. Well, can't do it.
Yeah. See, in the bank, would it be like.
Yeah. Where you want to buy?
Yeah.
Where you want to go?
Okay. You better start making biscuits at night with a second job because you're not getting in these houses. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders to begin the third hour. Is it true or is it not true that you turned your back on D-Mace and Joey Kent when they were rookies?
No, that's false. D-Mace, come on, man.
Hey, listen, y'all guys, we can't bring Joey on, but when we walked in that place, when nobody looking to help us. Now, again,
he said you become
a great friend to me.
He told me during the break that when you set eyes on him when he came through the door, you thought you were back in Columbus, Ohio, and you were at the track and you just took off running.
Green Michigan State jersey. That's why. I mean, my eyes was hurting. I was wearing high
school goggles,
and I saw that big Michigan State green.
That's the best green in the world, man. That's the best green in the world.
Seriously, when Derek Mason and Joey King came in, I didn't really know him. So, I knew he went to Michigan State and UT, but I really didn't know him. But once I got to know him, then we became good friends. And we talk about, you know, being a good mentor and all that. That's great. But all mentorship is just giving advice. It's not about, well, I got to babysit the kids. I got to walk Derek's dog. All that stuff. It's just about giving advice. Because
no, that's called hazing.
Yeah,
that's
true. I need you to go get my car washed and pick up the dry cleaning.
Because I wanted to cut Derek's hair because he had an awful haircut. I mean, he had
wow.
He looked like he didn't play.
Man, I think I'm going to go to the bathroom. You guys can settle this on the air.
No, Chris is right. Listen, when you walk into a room, and I said this to Darren, too. What was the other guy's name, the young guy?
Jason McCarron's.
No. When Joy and I first got drafted. Was it Sylvester?
Jasper Strong, too.
Yeah, Jasper Strong. That was his name. He was there.
Jasper Strong.
And it was Willie, D-Russ.
D-Fuss.
Yeah, D-Fuss. And who else was it? It was you, Willie, D-Fuss. His name was Derek Russell, but we called him D-Fuss.
Oh, the other Chris Sanders.
What?
There was another Chris Sanders. He's a receiver tight end, remember?
Yes, you're right.
Come on, man. It's too Chris.
No. Did he make the – did
he made
who
it.
Made,
he
who made the move with us to Nashville?
Dang, man, I can't remember. I got hit too hard too many times. I can't remember.
I know. I was going to say, guys, that
– Yeah, that was long ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
My thing was when we walked in there, there wasn't guys like, okay, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. This is what it wasn't. So we had to figure it out. Joey and I had to figure it out on our own, you know. Now, like Chris said, once – they got to know us, you know, it was, okay, these guys are cool, whatever, let's, now we're a family. But before that, it was like, they're coming in, and, you know, other than probably Chris, I don't think anyone else's job in that room was secure. Mm-hmm. Other than Chris's job, Russ, Willie, and whoever else, their jobs were not secure. They were on their way out. So they were not looking to help someone that's potentially going to take their job.
Right.
And my thing was that if I'm ever in that position, because I know how it felt walking into that room, if I'm ever in that position as a veteran guy, I don't care if they draft a guy first round.
Yep.
It is my obligation as a veteran guy to help him in any way possible.
100,000%. And I'm going to tell you a guy, and it's funny that we're talking about this, because I talked to him about two years ago, Justin McCarron's. When Justin McCarron came in, he didn't know what he was doing, but we befriended him and we built a relationship with him and we became good friends. I talked to him 2 years ago and this is what he said. I'm glad y'all brought this up. He said, thank you. He said, thank you guys for mentoring me. How many times did we ever go to his house?
Never.
How many times we go golfing together?
I don't know. Never. Really.
But we just gave him good advice. Why? Because he's a teammate. Because the thing about it is, if you start to become enemies in that room, you're not going to win. And then you just got to look at the situation, you know, with Tannehill and Willis. Just imagine, you know, nobody's talking about how Malik Willis feels. Everybody's talking about what Tannehill said. Just imagine coming into the meeting room, hearing that the starting quarterback is going to say that I'm going to help everybody else. But when it comes to you, you got to figure it out on your own. You went from being teammates to enemies. And I'm going to give you an example. I remember when I came in, this my rookie season, and this was my olden days. But there was a receiver. I'm not going to say his name. But I asked him a question about, okay, you know, where do I line up? And he looked me square in my face. He said, this is just his quote. He said, find out your essence self. So from us going from being teammates, we went from being enemies. And back in my old days, I was a bad dude. This is what I said. I said, I'm going to take your blank job. How about that? So now we're in the meeting rooms. We don't talk, and we have the sense of we haven't, you know, going against each other because, yeah, we got the same job. But for you saying that to me, that shows me that you have no care for me. Yeah, we got to compete. Yeah, when you came in and Joey Kent came in, yeah, we're competing for a job. But at the end of the day, if I'm calling you my teammate and I'm saying that I love you and I care about you, regardless if you start or not, then that means I absolutely don't care about you, D-Mace.
No, you're absolutely right, Chris. And that's why, to me, and Chris, I don't think people understand this. People, right. And I'm not going to say everybody that didn't play, and you don't necessarily have to play to understand this, but I think in order for you to understand this, you have to have been in a leadership role.
Absolutely.
At one point in your life. And when you are in that leadership role, you understand that when they bring in the new crop or the young people, it may not say that in your contract.
Absolutely.
That you are a mentor, but you are obligated. You are obligated to mentor that young person that comes into your room.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. You're not obligated to do it, but when you're saying I'm the leader of this offense, and I want to be careful because I'm not bad mouthing Tannehill. I love Tannehill. But when you're saying that I'm the leader of this offense and I want to lead my team to the promised land, but I can't give you advice, that just doesn't sit well with me. I want to break this thing down to you of the severity of what was said. Okay, you got Treylon Burks coming in. Just imagine if he runs the wrong route. Tannehill's going to go up to him and say, you know what? Hey, you got to lie with your eyes. You got to get him off the spot to make him a better player. Okay, you got Nicholas Petit from The Ohio State University. He doesn't pick up a blitz. He makes the wrong step. The quarterback's job is supposed to go and say, hey, you got to turn this way, do such and such. You got Hassan Haskins, the same situation. Oh, he didn't pick up a blitz, or he did a wheel route wrong, or he did something wrong. Tight end. You got a new tight end coming in. Okay, he made the wrong read. He didn't run the right route. He's going to go up to him and advise him on what to do right. But then now you got Malik Willis, who takes the wrong step, who doesn't understand the coverage, and your words to me is, you just watch me and follow me. I don't agree with that. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to be Mr. Nice Guy today. Because the thing about it is, everybody says, well, he didn't mean to say it, and, you know, it just came out. But let me tell you something. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out, period. I don't care what you say, because that was in his heart for him to come out. Now, the good thing about it is, we can make this thing better. If I'm Tannehill, the first time I walk in that quarterback meeting, I would tell my position coach, hey, position coach, can I talk, can I say something to the other guys that I'm competing against? And I would say, listen, I'm sorry, I blew it. I said some things I shouldn't have said, and I want us to be teammates. Yeah, we're going to compete to get each other for a job, but at the end of the day, let's don't become enemies. Let's become friends and teammates and build a family, exactly what you said, D-Mace.
Yeah, I just think it's critical for Ryan to sort of repaint the picture here because the picture he's painted thus far is, you know, one – him coming out saying, hey, listen, I felt it was more important for me and my family that we stay back for renovations, then you'd be here on your first day. That just started the picture all wrong. Yeah. You're talking about being Picasso. You started all wrong.
True,
and then, you know, other things thrown in. And then you say that in regards to Malik Willis, which, Chris, it wasn't – Jared didn't ask, you know, he didn't really ask you that question. Mm-hmm. You threw it out there like, it's not my business or my place or my job to be a mentor to him. And you just continue to paint this picture in a way that it's him versus me. I know he tried to clean it up a little bit, but your words were, it's not my job to be a mentor, to mentorship him or be a mentor to him. You painted the picture all wrong. And like you said, he can go back and try to fix it. And hopefully it does work out. But what's meant for Ryan Tannehill, he's going to have. And what's meant for Willis, he's going to have. So regardless if you help him or not, if he's the better player, they're going to play him.
Hey, D-Mace, you remember in 1998, and I don't know if you were over my house or not, but when they were doing the draft and they draft Kevin Dyson, they were blasting. They said we had no receivers. You don't think that I was upset. You don't think that I was mad. You didn't think I wanted to fight somebody. But at the end of the day, when Kevin Dyson came in and built a relationship with him, did we even care who caught passes? We didn't care if Dyson caught five. We don't care if you caught three. We didn't care if you caught two. Why? Because in that room, Derek, we were friends. Mm-hmm. We were friends and we were teammates. So if you caught two and I caught one, and nobody cared. Why? Because guess what? It says this. It says, I wrote this quote down. It says, when we can't give advice for a person and help that needs help, that means we're walking in insecurities. Everybody was secure in their role. D-Mace, how many catches did I catch in 1999? Maybe 24.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. But we still managed to have a really good room of receivers. We all still, you know, broke bread. We all still enjoyed one another. And we knew there was a job to be done, but besides that job, we were friends. And I just think when you approach a situation like that the way Ryan did, it starts everything off so wrong.
It does.
So,
but at the end of the day, man, everybody makes mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm first person to say I make mistakes. But the way you make the wrong right is go right to him and say, listen, I blew it. And then that's when you can get the brush and paint the picture that you want and build something great.
Last thing, Treylon Burks, what's realistic expectations for him this year?
He's got to play. He's got to be big, man. I mean, you know.
What's big?
He's got to be huge. I mean, he's going to have to run every route. He's going to have to run every route. And the only thing that I'm kind of concerned a little bit about, I know he's athletic. I know he's big, strong, and physical. And he went against some, you know, some top corners in SEC. But he's going to have to learn how to run every route from a curl, from a comeback, and not just run bubbles. But if he does that and master his craft of being a complete receiver, not just running bubbles and fades, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be okay. But at the end of the day, he better understand, when he steps foot in the facilities, he's already the number one wide receiver, and can he handle that pressure?
Is he, though? Or is Robert Woods, if he's healthy?
But see, we don't know if he's healthy or not. I mean, because, you know, when you're talking about a knee injury in week 10 in November, that's hard to come by, because you got to stop and start and chest over your knees and, you know, change directions. I don't know if he can do that yet, and I hope he does, because it would be huge. But there's a lot of pressure riding on Treylon Burks, because when you get drafted that high and you're replacing somebody that was good, the key is how can he handle the pressure. And I think he can do it. I believe in him.
Do you believe in biscuits? Do you like biscuits?
I like Krispy Kreme.
You didn't answer the question.
Yes.
Do I like biscuits?
Yes. That's the question.
Mama and them got to make them. If I don't know. Yeah, I like biscuits.
Okay, that was very wishy-washy,
man.
It should have just been like, I like
you
biscuits.
You was dancing, though.
Well,
did you hurt
kinda.
Your knee?
It's just a version of dancing.
Yeah.
It was I don't know if it's really.
You candy when you were dancing.
Oh, wait, really? You're going there? All right. Hey, got one last thing, Chris.
No, don't do it.
Hang up on it. We're out on a remote. I can't do it.
I know. Swing and miss.
Oh, my goodness.
I love when he does that on Silly Underdog Picks.
Swing
and miss.
All right.
Thank you, Chris. Talk to you soon. He'll be, of course, part of our Silly Underdog Picks this year, this upcoming football season. We're excited about that. But he would do that last year every time, make a pick.
Oh, well, he got me. Swing and miss. 2 weeks ago.
Of course, this was coming from the guy in last place. Swing and miss. I was like, dude, you're 0 for 26 on your picks, and you're saying you're talking crap to people?
That's a true competitor.
But that's why,
right?
I know. That's why we love him. All right, we'll come back. More of the DDC here from the Grove next. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. If you're looking for a place to watch Game 2 tonight, I'm your Huckleberry, and you're out here close to Cool Springs. Go to Huckleberry Brewery on Fraser Drive next to Sperry's Restaurant. You can watch Game 2 tonight. Plus, you can register to win tickets to see Game 3 Saturday afternoon at Bridgestone Arena. So keep that in mind if you're out in the Cool Springs area tonight. It'll be an 8:30 puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call. From Ball Arena, I'll have pregame for you at 7:30. We'll see if the Preds can even up the series. We'll have Elliot Friedman on at 1 o'clock from Sportsnet. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here shortly. It was pretty funny, the response to my college football coach used to say, we all strive to be like biscuits and rise to the occasion.
Uh-huh.
He texted back and said, hey, we were at a Division III school, big brains, small budget for pep talks. I liked it. I wasn't even throwing shade on it.
Yeah.
I actually liked it.
I said, I can use that one. I've never heard it, but I can use it.
Yeah. I mean, Griffin says, biscuits are soft and fluffy. That's not the way to play sports. That's true. I mean, but we're talking about biscuits in the can, Griffin.
Exactly.
Biscuits in the can. That's sports metaphor right there. It's biscuits in the can.
Yes.
You come out of the can exploding, not the biscuits coming out of the oven, which are soft and fluffy and warm.
Yeah. Unless you leave them in there too long.
Unless you burn them.
Yeah. And then they are hard, strong. You throw them at somebody or throw them at something.
I had a roommate in college that I always – it was like being a DD at home in the apartment, because every time he would go out and come in at 3 in the morning, you can guarantee he was going to put something in the oven and go to pass out. And we were going to wake up to the smoke detector going off and coal black tater tots, coal black biscuits. I mean – hard as can be, because he put it on 450 and just pass out. And then 2 hours later, we would have smoke everywhere, and I'd have to be the one to get up and open up the windows and turn off the smoke detectors. Yeah,
I'd have locked the oven.
I know that's the thing. There's no good way.
Yeah,
like, how do you stop that?
Yeah, you can't.
Who unplugs the oven? Yeah, take what? It's frozen food. So how are you gonna? What are you gonna do with that?
Guess you can't do anything.
You can't unplug the oven.
No, not really. No, you can't. So.
He was a great guy, but God, he was a lousy drinker.
Great guy, lousy drinker.
I just had to babysit him.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'd get up. Dude, really? Tater tots again? Really?
Like, dude, seriously? I got to wake up to smoke? Gosh, dude, everything's going
charcoal
off.
Charcoal briquettes coming out of the oven?
Man.
That used to be tots?
I'm just thinking about when you said tots. I'm thinking about what's the name of the movie? When he was like, and he said they were on the bus. No, they were in the classroom, and he put the tater tots in his pockets.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite. He's like, Napoleon, give me some of your tots. And Napoleon wouldn't give him any, so he squished them.
He kicked his pocket.
Exactly. He kicked his pocket because all his tater tots were in his pocket. That's a classic, by the way.
For all the people that are texting me right now, you don't know this person. Everybody's trying to, who are you talking about? Like, no, yeah. You don't know him.
Yeah.
You
don't know him. Worry about it.
He's a great guy. You don't know him. Uh-huh. He lives in Kentucky. John the Mailman, A for effort, dude. You're trying, but I'm just, I
he wants to get in
he's
so bad.
He's still texting, and it's like, dude, I'm told you, you're cut off.
Hey, man.
For the day.
Listen.
We'll see you tomorrow. It's cool.
We love you. And you can come back tomorrow, but there's consequences.
There are consequences, man. You can't just do whatever you want on the text line.
You can't say whatever you want, you know, text whatever you want all willy-nilly.
Just think about the level of what you did. Somebody texted in, and I cleaned it up, just literally their only text was, bleep, John the Mailman. And I read that.
Uh-huh.
And that person can still text. And they said, bleep, but they didn't say bleep. I bleeped it. Bleep, John the Mailman. And I read that over... Now, everything you've written since you said, you know, your
John?
Derogatory remarks toward Biscuits.
Yeah.
Like, that just tells you, man.
What did Biscuits ever do to you, John?
I mean, it's just you're not going to be able to say whatever you want on the text line. Although people try.
Yeah, they do.
Kind of like people are like, oh, you guys run this. There's nothing to see here. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to say this nicely. Like, those are the same people that hundreds and hundreds of phone calls and tweets and texts that told us to stop talking about Tom Brady. He was never leaving the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And you know what we never stopped doing? Stop talking about Tom Brady that offseason. Because you know why? He left the Patriots. And he went to the Bucs. Same people, hundreds of tweets and texts and calls. Stop talking about A.J. Brown. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing, including people who cover the team, by the way, that I've since told them, yeah, I guess you're a little bit too close to the forest, right? Remember when you were telling me, stop talking about A.J. Brown. There's nothing to see here? Mm-hmm. Did we stop talking about A.J. Brown? No. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He got traded. So, you know, I appreciate it. You don't think there's nothing to see here, but we'll just keep doing what we do.
I think people get so – and listen, I get it. You never want to be like that contrarian. You never want to go against, you know, what the team is doing or saying. And if you're a true – if you say I'm just a diehard fan, you never want to think about the afterlife or the other side of what can potentially happen. You always want to think about – just know everything's going well. Everything's going well. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. When in actuality, you know, there's always two sides to it. And there is a possibility that what we're saying is going to happen. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. This is the National Football League. Things happen. Minds are changed. Situations are changed. So when there are things that are being said or displayed, and we comment on those things, I think a lot of people act as if we're crazy or we're just, oh, y'all just making all this stuff up.
I mean, we
up.
Are, but, you
and
know.
We are crazy, but everybody
it's
is.
It's a good
dude.
Crazy. Yeah. It's a good crazy.
But y'all just making stuff up. Y'all just don't like them. Just let them do them.
Or this is the best way. Y'all just looking for content.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they keep on giving it to us.
Because, like what, we requested for them to do stuff like this? They're just doing it. We're talking about it. That's our job. We talk about this stuff. And, you know, for all the people who said there was nothing to see with A.J. Brown and this was a whole lot of nothing, and you guys are just trying to fill time. Really? Huh. That's weird because he got traded on draft day.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Shannon on our text line says, love Biscuits. Thank you, Shannon. Text anytime.
Yeah.
We'll come back. More of the DDC next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, we'll have Elliot Friedman coming up here at 1 o'clock. We're having fun here at the Corn Ferry Tour here at the Grove, Simmons Bank Open. You could have fun this Sunday. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day in advance. How about a family four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds in Norfolk? Family four-pack to see the Sounds in Norfolk. But here's what you have to do. You have to call in and tell Nick Kieser back at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. Who is the affiliate? What Major League Baseball team is the affiliate for? Who's Norfolk the affiliate for? AAA affiliate for whom? Norfolk Tides. Norfolk Tides. Who is that the AAA affiliate for? If you can correctly tell Nick who that is. You're going to the game on Sunday. A family four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds and Norfolk. I'll be there. And Derek, just saying.
Hey.
I was asked yesterday if I wanted to put the first pitch.
Oh.
Just saying. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's the number. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah. And so my question was, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Am I the first person to throw out the first pitch with a torn ACL? Just want to know.
You might be.
Has anybody else ventured out there on a torn ACL and throw out the first pitch?
Probably not.
Probably not. Where's Mike Vrabel? Probably not. Nick's answering phone, so he can't do that.
Yeah.
Probably not. You know my favorite minor league baseball team? They're out of Alabama. Montgomery. You know why I like Montgomery?
You would go there all the time.
Not all the time.
SEC Media Day.
No, that's a little bit further down from Birmingham.
Okay. Birmingham, okay. But don't they have one?
They do. They do. Yeah. They have. Yep.
Yeah.
They do in Birmingham. But I like Montgomery because they're called the Biscuits. Montgomery Biscuits, D-Mace. That's why. I've been to their games. Montgomery Biscuits. It's a nice little park there in Montgomery, Alabama.
Well.
People texting in. Sorry, folks. You got to call in. Got to call in.
That's how it is.
Jeff on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As a final word on biscuits today, if you're a real biscuit fan, try the Pillsbury Frozen Oven Ready Biscuit Dough.
Ooh.
Grandmas everywhere are fooling families all over the country, thinking that was made from scratch.
Is he a spokesperson for this?
Honestly, that's like that. Jeff just did a commercial in a text.
Exactly.
I want to go get some right now.
You sure he ain't endorsing this? Like, this is his
Pillsbury frozen oven ready biscuit dough.
You got a winner.
Have a winner. All right. The correct answer was the Baltimore Orioles. That's what we were looking for. Joseph, congratulations. Good job. But Jeff just did a commercial in a text.
It's a really good one, too.
It is. Speaking of tweets, not text.
Uh-oh.
The Magic Man says, I believe in the Pillsbury Predators tonight. But if they had UC in net, I think the series would be very doable.
See what he did there? I like it. Huh? Play on words. I like it.
I think he's saying it would rise up.
Yeah. Well,
the series would be very doable, but UC's probably not going to be in net. He's not going to be in there tonight, we know. But I think we've all come to the conclusions that he's not going to be available. Yeah.
We might not see him.
Unless he rises up.
Like dough.
Boy, like if the game was on Sunday instead of Saturday, wouldn't that be something? If game three was on Sunday?
Uh-huh. And he played.
And all of a sudden the smoke, and you think you're going to see Connor Ingram or David Riddick, and there's like smoke and nobody's coming out. And then, boom, there's UC Soros.
And then there would be Billy. Oh, my goodness.
See this? UC Soros is on the ice. UC Soros is, oh, my laundry. UC Soros is on the ice. I need a defibrillator. Oh, my laundry. Holy cow. That's what he would do.
Yeah. It's Billy for you.
That's what he would do.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen, but boy, would that be great drama. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Well, what must not happen is what happened the other day.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, Darren, your southern accent sounds like Brian Kelly. Oh, Nate on our text line says, get Jeff an NIL deal.
Hey, he's earned it. He's earned it with that one. With that text, you have earned it, buddy.
Oh, man. Tyler on our text line says, sounds PA announcer here. Oh, really? He says, are you going to throw from the mound on the knee, on your knee?
Oh, my goodness.
Is Tyler really the sounds PA announcer?
It's not going to reach the plate if you throw it from your knee. It's not going to reach the plate, man.
I don't think your arm's that
strong.
You don't
strong.
Think so? You don't believe in my arm? From a knee?
Do you want me to be honest?
No, I want you to fib.
Yeah. No, I don't think
so. Actually, not. Yeah, I want you to be. No. Yeah. No, I want you to fib. I'm being serious. Fib.
Yeah, I think you're making it,
hey, tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah, I think you're making
it. Hey, tell me what I want to hear.
I think you're making it.
Bill.
85 down a pike.
That's my man right there. Woo, I feel good. I'm ready to tackle the rest of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Tyler, I'm not. I have no intention of doing a first pitch from my knee.
Nah, not the way that knee's looking.
But, Tyler, if you are truly the Sounds PA announcer, has anybody else thrown out the first pitch at First Horizon this year with a torn ACL? I ask you those questions. Or that question.
I dare you to answer it. Dare you to answer it.
Text us back because you're allowed to, Tyler.
Absolutely.
We welcome your text.
And I'm sure the answer would be no.
John the mailman, not a chance. No.
Is he still texting?
Yes. He's done. John. He's been cut off.
John, man, you just got to go, you know, lick your wounds, man. Go home, lick your wounds.
We'll see. Speaking of licking the wounds, and we're going to talk with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock, but it's going to be critical what the Predators do in the first 10 minutes because Colorado is going to try to absolutely just jump on them right out of the gates and pop them right in the nose, just like they did Tuesday night. Now it's going to be, do the Predators have response? And is it a first goal that could really get them going? If they score the first goal, if they come out and they're the ones that pop somebody in the nose, does that change the whole complexion of game two?
I think it does. I really do believe it does. If indeed you can come out with that sense of urgency that you didn't come out with in game one, I think Connor Ingram will be awesome in net. I really do. He played extremely well coming in. What, the end of the first period or the second period? Was it the end of the first period, toward the end of the first period?
Who's this, Connor Ingram?
Yeah, when he came in.
He came in – well, he played 5 minutes to go in the first period.
Yeah, so it was basically the end of the first period. On. Yeah,
so he played two periods in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he did a fairly good job.
45 minutes.
He did a good job, and they were peppering
him. He did.
Him.
It's just hard to tell. I mean, yes, Colorado just go down there and do
– they
didn't
take
do snow angels for 45 minutes. I get it, but – they're up 5-0.
Yeah,
I mean, you know. I mean, if you're in a football game and you jump out and it's a 31-0 lead, like you still got to run routes, you still got to block, you still got to, but you're not.
But the
doing
plays
it.
Are called
you're
different.
You're not doing it right. The plays
are called different,
and you're not doing it with the same umph that you did before that 31-0 lead. True.
It's hard to try to maintain.
Even if you want
it,
to, but you know, you're just there's going to be a little. There's going to be a drop-off.
It's one of those deals where, oh, we didn't get it this time. We'll get it next time. We're fine. Because you didn't. You feel I'm up 28. I'm up
35-0. Right. It's like, what? Like okay, so that wasn't crisp. That wasn't clean. Mm-hmm. Big deal. We're up 31-0.
Exactly.
You have a bad shift and you're up 5-0. You going over to the bench and beating yourself up? Probably not. Probably not.
Nah.
Probably not. Dave in Brentwood wants to know on our text line, is today you just made the list? No, that's tomorrow at noon. It may feel that way for John the Mailman, but no, Dave, it's actually tomorrow at noon. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour of the DDC. We do that next. Sounds Baseball tonight, 6:35 on ESPN 94.9. Sounds will take on Norfolk. You know what? They're the AAA affiliate for the Baltimore Orioles. We knew that, right? Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here at the Grove, Corn Ferry Tour, Simmons Bank Open. Beautiful day thus far. So far, so good. Tyler has weighed back in, who is the PA announcer for the Sounds. No knee braces spotted thus far, but we've had a very high strike percentage this year. The gauntlet has been thrown. Whoa.
Oh.
Well, that's pressure, man. I didn't appreciate that, Tyler. Mm. I mean, I appreciate the info, but now you're putting pressure on me. Jeez. Here's a question. No-name texter, D. Mace, if the Preds win tonight, I truly believe they will win games 3-4 and take a 3-1 series lead. What do you guys think about that?
If the Preds win tonight, they will – say that again?
The Preds win tonight, he truly believe, or they truly believe that they'll win games 3 and 4 here. That'll be Saturday and Monday and take a 3-1 series lead.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it can't happen, but it's going to take a lot, and I mean extremely a lot, for that to happen. One, you got to come out and play a lot faster than you did the other night. You got to play with more urgency. Those mistakes, you know, silly mistakes that you had, you can't have them. And then Connor Ingram has to play in the net like he did the last, you know, 2 and 5 minutes of the game, two periods and 5 minutes of the game. And then you got to expect Colorado not to play as well as they did. That's a lot of stuff to happen.
Yeah.
It's sports.
I would say it's going to be hard. I mean, everything went right for Colorado. It'll be – they're very good. We know that. They're the one seed. We get it. But also, they dominated the game.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be – one, you know the Predators are going to – they're going to push back, like all the teams did last night except for Boston and even up the series. Everybody evened it up last night except for Boston. They're down 0-2 to Carolina. And that's typically what you expect in a series, right?
But in those other series, with the exception of the Colorado series, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was a surprise sort of how those games went, those first games.
You're talking about games one?
Yeah, games one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. St. Louis shut out Minnesota. That was – even though I picked St. Louis to win the series, I mean, that Minnesota was rolling. And then they rolled last night, Minnesota. Uh-huh. You know – Edmonton to lose the first game to L.A. No, I did. And then Edmonton responded last night and destroyed them.
So it was like the better team won.
Yeah, 6-0. So
it's a little different in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the better team won the first game. It wasn't like, okay.
By the way, a lot of those are also home teams losing game one. So you expect, like tonight, Florida will come back and they will take game two.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, that's a free tip right there. Florida will win tonight, and they'll win convincingly.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like
those home team, especially a home team like Florida, who was so lights out all year, and they lost game one at home. They'll rebound.
So you expect them to come back and win.
I expect the Rangers to bounce back at home, Madison Square Garden, take game two tonight. There's another free tip.
Okay. But it wasn't that way. It's not like coming in, Nashville was just overwhelmingly the better team, and they dropped game one in that fashion. Then in your mind, you would think, well, Nashville's the better team. They're going to bounce back. They're going to play much better. They're going to win. Well, that's not the case in this series, you know. Do they have a shot at winning the series? Yeah, but a lot of things have to go right for them to win this series. But the first game went as many people predicted it in regards to who won. I don't think many people predicted
7-2.
Yeah, 7-2, or they would score 5 goals in the first period. Or was it 4?
It was 5.
No one predicted that.
It felt like 10.
Yeah. No one predicted that, but they did predict Colorado to win. So, I just expect the Predators to play a lot better than they did the other night.
Wayne from Spring Hill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, biscuit lives matter. That's true. Biscuits lives matter.
Yeah.
They do. Neely on our text line says, the best minor league team is the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Neely in Bellevue. I've actually seen the Trash Pandas play.
Trash Pandas?
That is a pretty cool name. Otherwise, I'd say I love the Montgomery Biscuits. But the Trash Pandas, if you're the Trash Pandas, like you got to love that, right?
No. I don't want to. Okay. No, I don't. I guess it has to grow on you. With the trash pandas. Nah, that don't sound too cool, Darren.
You don't like that?
Nah. Now, eventually, well, you really don't want to be in the minors that long to really have the name.
No.
Have the name, you go, no, kind of wear on you, and you embrace it. You don't want to be in the minors that long. So
I don't think there's anybody that says, I want to spend the next 3 years here. I don't think I've ever heard a minor league baseball player say that. You know what? I love it here.
I want to be called a trash pandas.
I love it here.
I want to be called a trash pandas.
I hope I never get called up. Like, things I've never heard a minor league baseball player say. You know, I love it here. The showers are great.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a purposely.
I love this field.
Just not.
Don't we have the coolest unis?
Hit one ball.
Don't we have the coolest unis? Like, I don't even want to get called up. I love it here. Things I've never heard a minor league baseball player say. Paul on our text line says the Predators are always awful on early starts. Yeah, I mean they've.
Are they?
I don't know the. I'm trying to think of early starts as in Paul as in first goal. Because I know when they play from behind this year, their record is bad, but it's also very good when they do strike first. I'm not sure the makeup of 82 games. We know they didn't score first last night or Tuesday night. I don't know how that played out over 82. If it was half and half, if they scored first half the time, I don't know. I don't have the exact breakdown. I just know that it's very lopsided both ways. So yes, Paul, when they don't get off to a good start, they have not had success this year. But also, when they do get off to a good start, they have had really good success. So it's worked both ways. So maybe that is a key to the game. They've got to score first. They got to jump on them and score first. I don't know.
I think that's everybody's mentality.
Well, true. You know? I mean, nobody's going in saying, "All right, guys, let's dig a hole and we'll climb out of it. Ready? Break.
Let's get ourselves down 5-0." Then we're going to start playing. Nah, not in this world. Mm-mm.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk to Elliot Friedman. We'll keep the theme rolling to begin the final hour here from the Grove. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.